The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by... we'll get back to you on that. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com. Welcome my wonderful co-host, Dave Draper!
Yay!
Yay, Dave Draper. You know, Dave, we have a new we actually have a new sponsor for the podcast. The opening theme doesn't represent.
Your tiresome joke will now have to be retired.
Yeah, it does have to be retired.
Mighty heart, she breaks.
We'll have a new little segment in the opening theme next week. But I want to welcome our newest sponsor, Shellhead Comics and more. Shellheadcomics.com.
Yeah.
They are a great
welcome.
They are a buy sell trade website as well as an awesome blog all about 80s toys and more, so there's a lot there to check out. So make sure you go check out shellheadcomics.com.
Or I saw the banner for JoCon. I'm like, oh, they're in Springfield. Oh, wait,
No.
That's just the banner for JoCon.
They are local.
Are they?
They are local. Check out shellheadcomics.com, or you can go to the Toy World Order page, the story page for this episode, and click on the link at the bottom of the page and check them out. So there's some really, really cool stuff on there. They've got lots of great content, lots of fun stuff. So make sure you check them out, and welcome to our wonderful world.
Yay!
And don't worry, Dave always sounds that less excited.
I actually am excited because I really hate that whole sponsored by nobody thing. So
you hate my whole silly
I hate that. I think it's not. I hate it. I think it calls attention to our weakness.
Oh, fair enough.
So now it's like we actually have a sponsor. Hooray!
We do actually have a sponsor. And everything is awesome.
That's because
cool
we're part of a team.
Part of a team.
And well, living our dreams.
That's true. You know, before we get to... Well, I mean, last week we had an awesome podcast. With Mr. David Gull. We set at Dave's house for not only the 3 hours that you heard the podcast, but we probably were together, the three of us, for close to 5.5 hours last Tuesday night.
Something like that, yeah.
Whether it was eating pizza and discussing things or... showing off Dave's collection and just kind of David kind of walking around going, this is really cool, guys.
Yeah.
Like, really, you know, he was really impressed by a lot of what you had down there, which was kind of cool. What? Me?
I'm just like, that dude seemed like the upper crust of toy collection, man.
David?
Yeah.
David's a good guy, though.
No, I'm not putting him down or anything. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, I'm sure my little thing's like a big fish in a small pond.
I don't know. I think no matter who it is, it's very impressive to see because you see it and you're like, holy crap. It's a lot to take in. But we had a great podcast. I heard from people last week after the podcast went up that I knew that was still listening but hadn't heard from. I had people sending me messages or, you know, sending me texts going, you know, my God, what a great show. So welcome back to reality, guys. It's just Dave and I.
Oh, boo.
It's just us and our little spin on our wheels. But this weekend is the New York Toy Fair, the New York International Toy Fair. So next week we will be talking about all the great Toy Fair stuff.
Yeah.
The show next week may get pushed back to the weekend. I'm not quite sure yet, but there will be a show next weekend, and it will be all about Toy Fair. So we will be discussing all the reveals and...
Yeah.
What?
Well, they're not showing Star Wars.
No.
And there's not going to be any G.I. Joe.
No. There's still going to be Transformers.
Ooh, man.
There's still going to be Masters reveals. There's still going to be lots of great stuff from NECA and Mezco and Warpo toys, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah, which we will. Yeah. That's one thing.
Yep, so there should be some good surprises come out of Toy Fair this year, but we'll...
Yes, a good surprise that they just announced.
Yes, from Warpo.
From Warpo.
But I guess the big news that I want to talk about before we get into the toy news is the fact that you and I had discussed it quite a bit after the big North Korea hack happened. And that, you know, when they hacked Sony Pictures because of
I think literally every nerd everywhere has had the conversation with some other nerd. Man, they should get Spider-Man back. They should get the X-Men back.
Well, we
had... And then had, like, various... theories and ideas
right.
of how it would happen.
Well, over this just this last week, Sony Pictures and Marvel Studios announced that they had come to an agreement and that Spider-Man would, in fact, indeed join the Marvel Comics, the Marvel movie universe.
Yep.
Starting with, I don't think they've officially announced it, but a lot of speculation is starting with Captain America 3, Civil War.
Yeah.
They're saying that will be our introduction to the Marvel Universe Spider-Man. And then whether or not they reboot Spider-Man with a new movie, which...
I thought they were. They're recasting.
Yeah, they are recasting. Whether or not it's going to be a true reboot or just going to pick up right with Spider-Man as Spider-Man.
They should do the, quote, soft reboot, end quote. I don't know that you can handle another origin story.
Right.
But I would just sort of, like, recast and kind of start over and just sort of, like, okay, this is a different continuity.
Right.
This is the Marvel Universe continuity.
So, I mean, a lot of people are kind of upset because there's a lot of talk that it's going to be a reboot. They're going to retell the, you know, it's going to be high school stuff.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be. The Marvel apparently wants to cast young.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, they're going to introduce
Spidey was always best when he was kind of a kid.
They're going to introduce him in Civil War, and that's going to lead into the next, you know, the new Spider-Man movie from Sony Pictures in 2016, I think?
Something like that. I know that Marvel actually, like, moved their schedule around to accommodate it.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
But it's pretty cool that, you know, it's really cool that they finally came to this agreement that Spider-Man's going to finally be...
Well...
Because people were kind of... I mean, Civil War sounded like a great idea film-wise, but then people are like...
Well, first of all, Civil War, that's just the title they're using, in the same way that they're using the title for Winter Soldier.
Right.
It's just a title and the concept of Captain America versus Iron Man.
Right.
Like, the whole... you're not going to have Spider-Man unmask as his... publicly.
No.
As his first appearance in any movie.
No.
No. That was, like, a huge... I mean, he'll be... my thing is he'll almost be, like, a background thing. That's how I'd do it. I'd do the Civil War that you plan to do.
Right.
And just have Spidey kind of be, like, in the background. Like, oh, hey, there's Spider-Man. Or have him be the Stinger at the end.
Yeah. But, well, I mean...
Because, I mean... Spidey, like, Spidey was big in that version of Civil War. I could see it. I could see you writing it so that there's this young, impressionable hero who's new on the scene.
Right.
And, you know, both of his idols are there, and then they go to war, and it's who is he going to side with.
Right.
I don't know. You could do it, I guess. I don't know.
I find it pretty interesting that, you know, people talked about what was the money, the money deals made between Disney and Sony, and actually the... officially, they've actually said the grand total of cash exchange between the two over the use of Spider-Man is $0.
Well,
according to a report by Variety, neither studio will share profits over any of the films that include the Web Slinger, nor is producer Kevin Feige.
Than they already do, right? Because there's already an agreement in place.
Right. Kevin Feige getting anything extra to produce a 2017 Spider-Man film. Everyone will keep a gross of their films, and that's it. The deal is strictly based on the belief that including Spider-Man in Marvel movies and making Sony's movie part of the cinematic universe will increase the bottom line for everyone, which is very true, which was the smartest thing that Sony could have done in order to go, oh, our last Spider-Man movie didn't do really well.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
Isn't it like Marvel's kind of actually, like, it's a Sony film, and they get the money, and they have, quote, final creative say... But isn't the Marvel team kind of moving in to make the next actual Spider-Man movie?
They are. They're coming in.
Because that's how I read. That's how I read the press release. Was it was like, and Sony has final say, and it's like, we're helping. It's like, good for you.
Yeah. I mean,
you did so good with the other one.
I mean, that's basic. Is they give Sony that final say, but essentially it's going to be like Marvel's movie.
It's like, yeah, Avengers, Spider-Man 2. Shut up.
And I think Sony knows in the back of their minds that's probably the best alternative for their brand as Spider-Man, since they're running
it. Letting people who know what they're doing make your movie for you, and then you just collect the checks.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the smart thing to do.
Yeah.
Sony, very smart.
Sony, smart. Smart, smart, smart. Well, that's the thing, is they still get final creative say, so they could...
True.
That'd be interesting if they go, well, we would like him to... No.
Yeah, no.
Oh, okay.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
But because of Spider-Man getting basically added into the cinematic universe, they had to shuffle some things around.
The woman and the black man get shafted.
Well, and as of right now... The release dates for 2015, and I'll read these off, are...
Well, 2015 course, shouldn't be affected
well,
at all.
But May 1st, Avengers Age of Ultron. July 17th, Ant-Man.
Ooh.
August 7th, Fantastic Four.
That doesn't count.
Then we move into 2016, which is February 12th is Deadpool.
That doesn't count.
March 25th, Batman, Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Okay, none of these count.
I know, but I'm reading them all off superhero-wise, so you know. May 5th is still Captain America Civil War.
That technically counts.
May 27th will be X-Men
Apocalypse. That doesn't count!
Will you just
You're going to read the turtle one, too. I'm going to punch you.
Shut up. I'm going to read the turtle one.
Oh, my God. I'm going to murder
all right,
you
fine,
if you don't
I'll, I'll skip all the rest of them. God, you're a pain in my butt.
But none November of those are 4th, affected by
November
the
November 4th is Doc Strange.
Okay.
Apparently, still November 11th is Sinister Six.
I don't know why.
But although they're saying Sony will not release Sinister Six in November 2016.
So this list is flawed and incorrect.
Let's see. There's still an untitled...
That you love so much.
There's still an untitled female Spider-Man universe film to be announced. May 5th, 2017 is Guardians of the Galaxy 2. July 28th is Spider-Man. And then Thor got moved back to November 3rd, 2017. And let's see.
Oh no, that's not cool. Don't use the picture for TV Flash for movie Flash.
And then I think Black Panther got moved back too.
I thought Ms. Marvel did too.
May 4th, 2018 is Avengers Infinity War Part 1. July 16th will be Black Panther. November 2nd, 2018 will be Captain Marvel. Let's see here.
You know, at some point, you really shouldn't
May,
be...
May 3rd will be Avengers Infinity War Part 2.
You guys and are planning stuff a little too far ahead,
July 12th, 2019 will be Inhumans.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
And that's it right now.
By then, Fox may blink.
Right.
We'll get mutants back.
Yeah, no crap. Fox may go, ugh.
Yeah, we'll see how Fantastic Four does. And see how they still
well,
feel.
But I think the deal...
No, they'll never give up the X-Men, because the X-Men are profitable, and those movies have been pretty decent. Like, they'll never give that up, but if Fantastic Four tanks, I could see them going to Marvel and working out some kind of deal. Because Marvel's playing hard... Marvel canceled Fantastic Four!
Well, and I think that's why you'll never see it, because now Fox is really ticked at Marvel's screwing with their franchise
well,
by canceling
but these
the
movies
comic
are
book.
Expensive, man, right? And you have to make them, or you lose the rights.
Right, exactly.
So, like, it's just, if this movie tanks, it would just be stupid not to work something out.
Problem is, if it tanks, we're going to get another reboot. And it's just...
If I'm a shareholder at Fox, I say, no, you haven't made this work twice now.
True.
Technically, there are two first movies, but they were the same, you know.
Right.
You're not getting it. Let's my money's being wasted on these things.
Yes.
Just so you guys can get in a pissing match with Marvel.
Which is kind of silly.
Which is hugely stupid.
But, I mean, the news really, it almost broke the internet when people, like, when was that? Was that Tuesday or Wednesday? Or was that Monday night?
It might have been Monday. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I remember that.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was because I remember you posted it. That was the first night. For those of you following the continuity, I've been sick. So Monday was the first night that I tried to go to sleep without NyQuil.
Right.
So I was kind of up late.
I gotcha.
And you posted the thing like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Which is kind of how I knew we weren't going to be recording on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So. So it like broke like in the like 10
yeah,
to
it was,
1 a.m. It
was
really, super late.
Really weird time for them to break that news. But it was kind of cool. Like I just signed into Facebook and I was like, why is my Facebook feed below? Oh. I'm like, look at that. Isn't that neat?
Yes.
So it's been kind of a fun week to read about that and see that, you know, people are, I mean, by all rights, everyone's super excited because we're finally going to get a Marvel Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
And have him be, you know.
Marvelish.
Yeah. So, Marvelicious.
And it'll be interesting. There's like a lot of, does this mean that you can use the Kingpin on Daredevil? Because he's one of those characters that's kind of been
right.
heavy because of the rights.
Right.
So it's just, I don't know. It's interesting. Because Spidey's a weird... I mean, Spidey's a weird character in terms of... He's not quite a street-level guy, you know, like the TV ones.
Right.
But he's not quite, you know, really the Avengers caliber. You know, he fights sort of... He's like Batman. He fights goofy criminals
yep.
in costumes.
Yep.
So he's always been like between those two worlds.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. We'll see in a couple of years when they... When they get to it, I'm pretty excited for it. There's been a lot of toy news.
Of course,
as we head into Toy Fair this weekend, a lot more stuff has started to kind of sneak out and leak out, and people have released
sneak
stuff.
Out.
Sneak out. But one of the things, you know, we're talking about the upcoming 2015 G.I. Joe convention.
Yeah.
which we're coming to pretty quick. And they've started to announce and they've started to show off figures for the box sets. They've started to reveal the figures not only in the 3¾-inch box set, which we'll talk about, but they also showed off the 12-inch Adventures of G.I. Joe convention exclusive, which is based on the...
I assume the Foreign Legion.
It was the last from the... just before G.I. Joe transitioned into the Adventure Team line, so to be based in 1969 is when this would have came out. But wow. It's a reproduction of the, I believe, of the Paratrooper?
Well, he's got a parachute on the box.
Yeah. It's a reproduction of the Red Top box that they were packaged with. So it's the 12-inch stuff doesn't, unless they announce some more, which they usually do, I thought.
I mean, the one that I got was a 2-pack, so I'm assuming there's more than just the one figure.
Right.
Although the 12-inch one, like, doesn't usually move as well.
Exactly.
Although people, like, this year around, people have been really excited. Like, I don't get it. I look at that figure, and it's very, very dull to me. But people have been really excited about this, more so than the actual, the 4-inch box set.
Which is weird. Speaking of the 4-inch box set, it was revealed that we're getting Tiger Force versus the Iron Grenadiers.
Yep.
And there's
a couple of interesting little tidbits about that. It's the second time they've done Tiger Force.
Right.
It's the third time they've done Iron Grenadiers.
Right.
And much like the Crimson Strike Force set, the Iron Grenadiers are a modern version update of their previous, not their previous, but the first Iron Grenadier set, Mars Attacks.
Right.
Or Mars Invades, I can't remember. So, like, all those characters, but instead of O-Ring, they're modern sculpt.
Right.
I'm just throwing a little knowledge out there for you.
Well, so we've gotten Dial Tone.
The third Dial Tone.
I believe it's supposed to be Beachhead.
Wreckage. He's from a 5-pack of weird Tiger Force recolors.
Right.
That Dial Tone was in, but Dial Tone didn't have that color scheme.
Gotcha.
Which is weird and annoying to me. It's like either stick with your concept or don't.
Right, and then they showed off their first Cobra Team member, which is Undertow.
Their first Iron Grenadier.
Iron Grenadier.
You're going to embarrass me at this, aren't you?
Oh, well. Technically, it's
not. I like the one where they shoot the lasers.
So they're showing off Undertow, which, I don't know, he's kind of neat looking.
Which one's the Red Skull? I like him.
I like his, he's got this creepy looking swim mask on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the traditional. The Undertow or the Iron Grenadier Frogman.
Hmm. So, but of course...
Although that's interesting because that's the color scheme from the convention set.
Right.
And I think... I don't know if a lot of people thought this. I thought this. That because a lot of those guys are based on vintage characters, figures that haven't been done yet.
Right.
That they'd use the actual figure color schemes this time around. Because Metalhead's never been done in modern.
Right.
Undertow's never been done in modern. But it looks like they're sticking with the convention,
yeah.
Black and red.
But the Tiger Force team will consist of Sergeant Stalker, Dial Tone, Big Brawler, Wreckage, Rakondo, and then Lifeline. And then the Iron Grenadiers, we get 9 figures, including General Mayhem, Metalhead, Undertow, Officer, 3 Iron Anvils, and 3 Undertows.
Yeah.
So, kind of neat little troop builders.
That's usually how they do it.
Yeah.
For the Cobras, they usually have trooper builders.
Yeah, so...
And then there'll be more figures than that because they have the add-on sets.
Yes.
So I'm guessing 4 of those are from that 5-pack that I just mentioned, and the one that's missing is Jinx. I'm betting she'll be in one of the bagged accessory sets. And then there'll be vehicles.
Which we won't know about those until
the convention. No, you won't know about those until the convention.
Yeah.
Like, you'll get the comic with your box set, and that's the traditional thing is you flip through it super fast to go, okay, who else is appearing in this thing?
And
that's what we're going to get.
I gotcha.
What vehicles are they, you know?
Yeah.
Because they keep that close to the vest until that night.
Yeah.
That night. Badoes. You crush Badoes.
The guys over at Funko, of course, as we get Toy Fair, we'll get better pictures of these, but some first looks leaked out of a lot of new Final Pops, as well as some new Legacy figures, including Firefly and the Legacy Rocketeer.
No, so those look good.
It's all their 6-inch line. Oh, they look great.
I will be getting those.
The 6-inch line has always...
Six-inch line has actually had really good sculpts.
Right.
I will grant them that.
They had a little bit of quality control.
With the first wave of Game of Thrones, there were some issues.
Right. And it sounds like they fixed those since that wave.
But they looked fantastic.
Yeah. So the Firefly, the cast of the Firefly looks amazing. And then the Rocketeer figure, just the blurry picture that we've gotten of him, looks amazing.
Looks good.
Hopefully he'll have a removable helmet, which I imagine he will.
I would have either that or a swappable head.
Yeah. But very cool. We'll get better looks at these, come next week, or come over the weekend as Toy Fair.
Yeah.
The weekend's just going to blow up toy news. I mean, it's just going to be all over Facebook feed. So it's always an exciting weekend when Toy Fair comes around. The Four Horsemen actually announced a bunch of project updates. Just a few shows ago, we were talking about the Mythic Legions line.
Sure.
And how you know, we were real excited because they were going to be Glios sized.
Well, that's what I've been told. Yeah. And therefore, I was excited.
And now they've turned around and changed that idea, and now the Mythic Legions line is going to be a 6-inch scale.
And I'm not interested.
Yep, Dave has lost all interest.
Yeah, I'll get the boss fight guys. They're D&D.
Yep.
Which isn't D&D, but you know what I'm saying.
And then the Power Lord stuff, they kind of said that, after a hugely successful first year of releases with Power Lords, the Horsemen decided to take a breath and examine what fans have loved about the line and what could be improved on and how to do it in a way that works well with their business. I think all of us Power Lord fans have been really supportive of the line, but I don't enjoy the way that they've structured it, as they haven't been able to sustain the appetite for newly tooled figures, so we keep getting these repaints and reissues of different figures and different color schemes, and it's just like, I just want my characters.
Yeah, I know.
So
I get it. I sort of see it from both sides. Yep. Yeah.
The Power Lords Fan Club, which was supposed to end October of last year, so you basically paid $100 for a year, they've decided that for the time being, anyone with a current membership will be a member indefinitely. Because they're going to offer a subscription 2.0 version. But the upcoming releases, they are going to, it's become obvious that we as customers have been really responsive to the fully painted Carter releases, and that it's taking longer and longer to get from one main character to the other. So they're looking...
Whoa, yeah. Have they done anything besides Griptog and Adam Power?
Nope. They're looking at an all-new release strategy based on a Power Lords Kickstarter campaign. Now, they already have Psydot, Disguisor, Raygoth, and the Power Soldier Assassin. So they're all pretty much ready to go, and they've decided why not just release them all at once. So they still have some planning to do, but that massive wave of figures should be released by late summer. And then the Dark Nebula Power Soldier and the Neutron Blast Lord Power are going to be released here real soon. But their base, I wouldn't be surprised if they just completely flip the Power Lord stuff and do it a different way come the new Kickstarter. So,
Wouldn't you?
Well, again, they've got all these figures ready. Just release them already because you've had them done since.
Well, yeah, obviously.
And that's what people want. I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's...
Yeah, people do. I mean, I hear what you're saying. Like, I'm sympathetic with what they were trying to do up to a point. And I think they've gone way past that point.
Yeah.
I
mean, at least with Mythic Legions, they can do... an infinite number of different style characters.
Well, and that's, I think one of the I know we always keep kissing boss fights, but I think one of the things that they did really well was figure out a way to have that, and the Four Horsemen actually did it with Masters too. You have that basic thing, and
right.
Then you can play with it in a variety of ways to make different figures.
Right.
As opposed to, purple Griptog, pink Griptog.
Yeah.
Green Adam Power, slightly less green Adam Power.
Yeah, after a while, it's just like...
Yeah, they milk that, I think, just a smidge and too far.
Yeah. Hot Toys showed off another one of their upcoming Avengers Age of Ultron figures. They show off the 1/6 scale Ultron Prime.
What? Ultron's in Age of Ultron? Spoiler alert. Thanks for wrecking the movie.
But this will be the final, I guess, final version.
Final boss fight, yep. Ultron.
And he's pretty slick looking, man.
He's pretty cool.
They've done a lot of cool stuff.
He should be big too, because he's 8 feet tall in the movie.
Yep. But it looks like he comes with some different hands, and he comes with an Avenger stand, of course, but as well as a head with an open mouth and a closed mouth. Whether or not the mouth
Okay. You're Hot Toys. You can't hinge a robot jaw.
Well, this one might be hinged, but it's hard to tell from the pictures because
okay.
The way that Hot Toys does their pictures, it's like I can't.
Yeah,
can't really. It says LED light up head sculpt and underbody, so the lights in the body are actually going to be light up all through the body. and then one pair of palms with movable fingers. So it looks like that the head, the jaw will be hinged, but just barely.
Yay! Well. I mean, his mouth just Plops. True. He's like a Muppet.
True. Blah, 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 blah. He's neat looking, though.
He's cool.
I don't know if it's neat looking for me, $400, but...
No.
You know. We are nearing Star Wars Celebration this year.
Oh, yeah, that.
Yep. And Kotoba Kia actually released our first look at one of the first Star Wars Celebration 2015 exclusives.
What exclusives? I hate those.
And this one happens to be from their Artifex line of statues. They're R3-A2 and K-3PO.
All right.
So, of course, the K-3PO was the white
protocol droid.
Yep, which we saw on Hoth.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm not sure about the droid, the actual...
I'm not sure where he... I think he might have been on Hoth, too, in the background.
But, kind of neat looking. I mean, I've always liked Kodo, but, I mean, they're just repainted C-3PO and R2-D2s, of course, so...
The head's probably different for R3, because it's a clear dome.
True.
That was the thing. Aside from George Lucas, who didn't give a crap about anything, there was an established... system for how you could tell the different astromechs apart.
Right.
Which he ignored completely. But other than that, the R3s had a clear dome.
Gotcha.
R4s had the kind of a cone-shaped dome. R5 had the... Not squared, but, you know, R5-D4. We all know
R5. I gotcha. Yeah. Then, of course, Star Wars Celebration happens April 16th through the 19th.
Are you flipping kidding me?
Everything's in April, dude.
Everything's in April.
Everything is then what we want to do. Tickets are still available.
Yeah, not going.
Of course,
is it anyway?
It's at the Anaheim Convention Center in California. Yeah, Anaheim, California. Going. Which is where hopefully one day San Diego Comic-Con ends up.
Yeah, well.
Because it's much bigger than the San Diego Comic-Con.
You won't be able to go anyway. Because apparently, did you know this? That Illinois driver's licenses are not... apparently, they don't fit the requirements for ID... to get on an airplane.
What?
Yeah, apparently. Apparently, most states, you have to, like, present a birth certificate to get your driver's license. So, like, in a few years, the TSA will not accept Illinois driver's licenses as ID.
That's dumb.
Welcome to America.
So, sorry. I'm going to have to take
my... I was listening to the radio on the way over here.
So I'm going to take my birth certificate with me every time I want to fly.
Oh, or passport.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Or they could just redo it, but that would cost money.
Illinois, why are you dumb?
Well, I have theories, but...
True.
The people who belong to that party listen to this podcast, too.
Fair enough. The latest set of LEGO Ideas were announced, so we get LEGO Ideas 11
and 12. Oh, yeah, that was a big one.
They were a big one. One of them happened to be a WALL-E set.
That's not the big one.
That's not the big one. The other one happens to be Doctor Who and the Companions as a project that's simply renamed as Doctor Who now. So it looks like we will be getting...
So we getting...
They haven't announced what the final release is going to be, but the one that the review board chose, Doctor Who and Companions, which the fan-made set included basically versions 10 and versions
4
of Doctor Who, K-9, Rose, the TARDIS, the Totter's Lane little street corner,
yeah. And
then a Weeping Angel, a Cyberman, and a Dalek. As well as the innards of the TARDIS control panel.
Yeah, okay. Well, I kind of hope... Like, I know that you're a modern guy, and I appreciate that, but I really do hope that they at least include, like, the Fourth Doctor. Because
right.
He's so iconic.
Right.
For old schoolers, he's so iconic. You know, 10 and 4, I think, would be good.
Like, yeah.
That'd be fine. I think everybody would be happy.
Yeah. But it's cool. I mean, that was a big deal that LEGO finally...
Yeah.
Because, remember...
We had a story about
late
how...
Late last year.
It was available to be resubmitted.
Right.
For consideration.
Because they finally worked out the license, which made everyone go, oh my god, so...
Oh yeah, like that was going to lose.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the cool thing is, part of me thinks that the Ideas selection is going to kind of be their testing ground to see if Doctor Who sets are going to sell, which they will.
I'm going to buy a set.
Oh yeah. I mean, they'll sell. who doesn't want a Lego Doctor Who? That's awesome.
Well, it depends on which one.
It's much better than Underground Toys version of the...
I don't like those.
Yeah, they were not great.
They were not great.
They did not go together well.
They went together okay, but I don't like the figures in that.
Well, no, remember, you tried to film one. We were going to do a review
for
one.
Well, that's because I'm not really good at filming... It wasn't stop motion, but I don't like to be on camera. That made it problematic to put one together on camera.
Understandable. But yeah, that was a big deal. We're getting a WALL-E set and we're getting Doctor Who, which was a huge, huge deal. So we'll see those.
But what about those birds? You can go to Toys R Us and you can get the cool bird set that people voted on.
That was, yeah, that was
make
the last
a Lego
one.
Hummingbird.
Is that, and that's where you found your little Lego Science Center too, right?
Nope. Got that on eBay.
Did you?
Yep. Nope. I paid for that on eBay. I didn't pay too much for it though.
No, because
it came with the latest, whatever the latest series of bagged minifigures, paleontologist figures.
Oh, gotcha.
So it was actually a pretty good deal.
Neat.
Yes.
So yeah, I was
very pleased about that.
Some other Cotobuquilla news is the fact that they haven't announced they're going to be artifacts plus statues, but they're going to design a vintage inspired line of those statues based on the 80s Kenner line superpowers.
Okay.
So we're going to get the toy styled.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, characters in that artifacts, which we'll probably see more of at Toy Fair this weekend, hopefully.
Yeah, I guess that's neat. Mattel kind of beat you to it, kids.
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, there's a lot of this superpower stuff going around. I mean, Mattel did that.
Why not?
Marvel did the Secret Wars thing, so.
Well, that's completely different.
I know, but.
They're sort of using the concept for Secret Wars, but it's different.
Right.
It's not just one universe, different planets, and really all the other planets were largely irrelevant. It's literally different realities, different periods of time.
Right, right.
Battling it out. It's,
I gotcha.
Whatever. It's Crisis. Secret War style.
Yeah, Secret War style. And we saw a little glimpse of this a while back, but NECA's finally released full pictures of their 1/4 scale action figure of the Batman Returns Danny DeVito as the Penguin.
It looks it looks well done. Let me put it that way. I don't like that outfit because he's in his little long johns from the end of the movie.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I don't know why they keep... There must be some problem with the 89 one, because, like, they keep doing Batman Returns. Everybody does Batman Returns. Nobody does... I want Joker.
Yeah, there must be some kind of licensing deal.
I know that he had, like, the most ridiculous deal put into place.
So Nicholson?
Yeah. Maybe it's still in effect.
It could be.
But it's just like, now you can buy a huge, hideous Danny DeVito thing to put in your house.
I always liked Danny DeVito's his version of Penguin.
I did not like his version of Penguin.
No?
Nope.
I always thought he was...
And it's funny, because I remember one time in college, we were just driving to the mall, and we get goofy when we're driving?
Right, right, right.
We were getting goofy, and we were talking about the next Batman movie, and it should be Penguin, it should be Danny DeVito. And from that point on, it became like we literally cast every movie. They should do Spider-Man, and, you know... They should have, you know, Dr. Octopus. It should be Danny DeVito.
Oh, yeah.
And they should do Superman again. And General Zod should be Danny DeVito. And then he actually was cast as Penguin.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, the joke's
like, oh, that's wild. It's weird, wild stuff.
Weird, weird, wild stuff.
But, you know, I don't know. Batman Returns is an acquired taste.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you posted this on my thing.
Yep, there's a new Kickstarter out from Cryptozoic. Which they're basically kickstarting a new Ghostbusters board game with their looks based on the IDW comic. Which
yes, I noticed that.
Which I'm okay with. I'm not a huge fan, but I'm okay with it. The Kickstarter's kind of neat because there's different levels of the game. But I think the neatest thing was that one of the bosses that you can fight in the game is this very weird looking...
You told me that, but I didn't see it anywhere.
I will show
you. I saw that Slimer was one. I'm like, Slimer's not a boss fight.
Well, they had 30 days to go. They needed $250,000. They've already raised $330,000, and it's been up for a day and a half. So that shows you the power of Ghostbusters.
Well, I wonder how many people didn't look real close to that box cover. Because I was like, how can they...
So you're getting... in the box set, you get 4 Ghostbusters. So you get Venkman, Spengler, Stan, Zedmore.
Oh,
you get 3 bosses. Slimer, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and the very Cthulhu-looking...
That's not Cthulhu-looking at all!
His face was. Edulinus. You get a bunch of Galloping Ghouls and Gruesome Twosomes. And,
I was like, where's the Cthulhu
Boogaloo
guy?
Manifestations.
Is he behind the scroll?
10 double-sided game board tiles. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff. But Cryptozoic likes to do these games with cards. So you get these, you know, player cards and ghost cards. There's a Mass Hysteria.
That would be the one that I would pledge.
There's a Mass Hysteria pledge, which gets you the base game with the Kickstarter exclusive packaging, all applicable unlock stretch goals, additional episodes, as well as an exclusive Sandman boss and ghost card based on his appearance in the classic Real Ghostbusters cartoon, a 12x12 Geesley print, four double-sided Sedgwick Hotel game board tiles to recreate the movie, an impossible mode super-sized angry Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and then a bunch of glow-in-the-dark dice, and that's $125.
Yeah, that would be the one that I'd do.
There's also a retailer. There's a retailer bundle that you get six base games. So if you're a retailer, you can just buy a bunch of them. But they that comes with an exclusive glow-in-the-dark Slimer boss for all those games. The stretch goal that was unlocked is there's a free Ecto-1 upgrade that you can get. And the other one that's been unlocked is the Azul and Ghost card, which is locked right now. They'll hit that when they hit 350,000. But I thought there's a better picture of your of Edulmus, and his mouth is very.
I don't see it. He looks like a Skrull.
He's got tentacles going on.
Okay.
I can't make it any bigger.
Tentacles don't necessarily mean.
Well, I agree, but. I thought he, just from looking at him, he was very...
No, he looks nothing like Cthulhu. Looks like a Skrull. No, Cthulhu doesn't have ears.
Fair enough.
You ignorant fool.
I just said he was Cthulhu-esque. I didn't say he was Cthulhu.
You promised me a Lovecraftian final boss.
I did not promise you anything.
I am looking at my thing so that I can do the thing, so that I can thing.
Okay.
And I will throw your words back at you. Okay, apparently I won't.
No,
right? It's not on my thing. Must be on the fan group. That means I'll never find it.
Must be on the fan group.
Must be.
The Edulmus character is kind of neat. Technically, the creation of Ray Stans, Edulmus was created in response to Gozer's defeat. Its purpose was to bring about a reselection so that Gozer could come in the intended way and complete the task of destruction. Each subsequent manifestation of Gozer hastened Edulmus' development. Interesting. I didn't know what that character was because I never read the IDW stuff. So I was like, oh, all right, well, that makes sense.
Well, isn't this interesting, David? One of the bosses is totally Cthulhu and not some lame Skrull.
No, I believe it says...
That is exactly the
text. No, it says Cthulhu-esque. Shut your mouth. I know what I wrote. God.
You are Jon Snow. You know nothing.
Oh, fair enough. You suck. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah.
All this drama.
Yeah. How about that? How about that now?
That was hurtful, actually.
Sorry.
I feel like we went too far.
Oh.
And for too little.
Oh. Fair enough. There was no payoff to that.
It's like the other day, Wheeler was like, we were playing around, man. He called me a flag carrier. And I'm like, don't say things you can't take back.
Well, Wheelor sent me yesterday when I posted that picture, the Kickstarter thing for the
Ghost. That is a Skrull. That is a Skrull with like bad neckbeard.
But he's got tentacle thingies
going on. He's like a Skrull hipster.
All right, let's move on from Edulmus. Let's move on. But I posted that on the Kickstarter thing on the fan group yesterday. And then last night, Wheeler, he sends me a link that says, look at this Ghostbuster game. And I'm like, where have you been? This has been on the fan page for like 8 hours. Some fan you are. No,
he sent me a picture of the... Every time they do an update of the next figure from the box set for Jokon,
yeah,
like inevitably I get a text from him like hours later going, look! I'm like, yes, I know. Thank you. I own an internet.
Where have you been all day, Sean? We have been on top of things all day long. This is what Dave and I do, dang it. We're on top of these things.
Well, I have no life, so...
I work 8 to 12 hours a day, so I really don't have a life either.
So I'm just like, I'm on the internet all the time, just desperately trying to keep from slipping into madness.
I had sent, Patrick Sinatra had sent me a question about something, and I responded to him, and I was like, sorry, I got tied up in work. I was like, I've been working like 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. like every day for the past couple
that's
weeks.
You want.
And he's like, oh my God, why? And I'm like, because I want to go to Vegas with my wife for the weekend. And we have to pay for some stuff for Dash to get done. And
you go to Vegas and you're going to sleep the whole time.
Oh, God, no.
You're going to get in the hotel and just be like, we worked so hard for this.
We work hard for him. And we're out. And he's asleep.
He's asleep.
We got some cool stuff going on this weekend. We're,
what?
Yeah.
You lie. Why do you lie?
We're going to go see, our buddy Dealer Dan. On what? Friday.
You lie.
In just a day from when you hear this, we're going to go see Dealer Dan and go through some toys, and then here in the next couple weekends, hopefully if I can work the schedule about, we're going to go to see our buddy Robert in Pekin.
We're
going to go.
Well, I mean, hopefully we have. I won't get into it, but hopefully we've got something planned for next week.
Cool. Yeah, hopefully.
Cool. We'll let you know as soon as we can, but hopefully.
No, 2 weeks. It'll be.
Oh, is it 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's 2 weeks. It won't be next
this
week.
This month is like 4 weeks long. It's already over. And how is it 2 weeks?
We're only on the. We're recording this on the 11th. We still have the weekend of the 21st.
I thought it was the.
Nope, 27th, 28th is we're shooting for. Right. So.
Wow.
The 28th will also be the first episode of Bored Season 3.
This is why I'm so pathetically, hopelessly dependent on you, because I don't know what I'm doing.
I know, right?
Well, whatever.
That's why I take care of all this stuff. But
it's a mixed bag, but it's generally better that way.
That's true, yeah. But yeah, this weekend we're going to head down to Dealer Dan's and hang out on Friday all day with him.
I can't wait to see all the cool stuff he won't sell me.
he said he tried to dig out some Joe stuff to maybe break a smile for you.
Then he'll be like, oh, wait, I need this for my collection. I'm so glad that you came down so that I could dig this out and realize I need it.
Oh, Dave.
Whatever.
But yeah, Dealer Dan's got some cool stuff for me that I'm going to pick up. Some Ertl Super Mario Brothers figures that I'm pretty excited about.
Like, the sad thing is the one, like... I should ask if he's got any more Goombas, because that's the one thing I'd like to get is a Goomba.
Yeah. The Goombas are kind of neat.
Well, it's a dinosaur.
Yeah. I still need
You know how I am.
That's true.
Oh, you need one?
No, I need the playset. The playset actually came with a Goomba, too.
Oh, okay. Well, I just want the figure. I don't really care about the playset.
I still need to track down a playset. That's what I want to look for, but as of so far, no luck. Because the playsets are expensive.
Well, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. And then, and coming up in a few weeks in March, we have the Toy Man Toy Show, which we're going to be working on a new commercial for the Toy Man Show for Chris McCullen.
Oh, are we?
Yep, we are working on a new commercial.
I know we filmed a bunch of stuff.
We're filming more stuff to kind of put it together for him because it's the 10-year, Toy Man's been around for a decade now.
Really? I thought it was much longer than that. Nope, I thought his dad started that.
He did, but the Toy Man Show itself as Toy Man has been around for 10 years. All right.
Jesus, so, I've been there for like half of that, at least.
I know, right?
It's just weird to think I was in on something. I'm always behind the curve on everything.
Isn't it, though? It's like, God, we've been around that long.
I'm old school. Represent. I'm OG.
Well, I mean, actually, it's the 25th anniversary.
You're a jerk.
I know.
I was feeling cool, and you just had to ruin it.
I'm sorry, Chris. I did mistaken that. I was thinking somebody else was talking about the 10th anniversary, and that got stuck in my head because I was talking back and forth with Chris about things. But it's actually the 25th anniversary of Toy Man Toy Show.
Man.
So I apologize for my mistake.
I would probably just skip it, but I have to go because I made a Faustian bargain with you.
Right. It's been around since 1990.
That makes sense.
But we've been going almost 10 years. Oh, well, 5 years.
It's like 6 or 7.
6 years, yeah. I would say it's getting up
since 2009. I've been going.
Yeah, it's getting up there. But March 8th is of course a show we talked about last weekend with David Gall. They announced it that Steve Savino and Jordan Himbrough are going to be there.
Oh yeah.
So.
There was something about a dinner or something.
Well, no, there's that, but he also put up the layout
for
the Toy Man, for the Toy Hunter Show. And for anyone that's familiar with the Toy Man Show, you come in the door, you go down the hall, you come in the door, you go down the hall, you come back up around Dave's
Oh, yeah, I'm the only one who doesn't like that.
the
guy.
So you go down one side, you come up the other for the red barrier, you come up through the hallway, you come into the hall, and as you come in, straight ahead, as you walk in the door, you see the stage area, and if you walk to that stage and then turn left along the back wall, there is actually a large section set up for Jordan and Steve.
All right, point that out to me.
Right here. Oh,
okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So it will not create any kind of traffic jam.
No, I'm not doubting you. I just wanted to see where in the floor plan it was.
That's what I'd been wondering too, and I hadn't asked Chris about it because I knew he was going to produce this layout to kind of show the floor plan. So luckily there will not be, because we were worried about.
I don't want to put down Hot Wheels guys, but that's usually kind of a garbage. Not a garbage area. That's the wrong word. But that's usually like there's a guy with like a million Matchbox
things. Right, and that's the area that Jordan and Steve are going to be in where that table is.
That's a good spot for it. That's actually a very good spot for it.
It's the best spot for it in the whole place, unless they took all the tables off the stage and put them on the stage.
I was thinking the stage would be good too.
Yeah, but so Jordan and Steve actually have a really, really great spot where it will not cause any kind of craziness with the rest of the floor plan, which is really cool. So.
Well, on that side is usually, opposite them is usually the artists, and I don't want to, again, be mean or catty, but they tend not to get as much traffic over there.
Right.
They're all very talented.
No, very much so. But Dave and I will be there all day. This is not going to be a show where we come in, shop, and leave. We got work to do, too.
What?
So
I am regretting this Faustian bargain I have made with you.
Sorry. You'll have to bring your camera, because I'll need an extra camera to shoot some stuff.
I hope it works.
I hope so, too. We've used it in forever.
Yeah, the battery's probably... I got to find the cord for that.
But I'm excited.
It's going to be fun.
I'm excited. It's going to be a good show. And then, of course, the night before at the, I believe there's an, in Maryland Heights in Missouri at Dave and Buster's.
Whoa.
I don't know what that was. The day before at 6 p.m., they are doing a very cool VIP experience meet and greet, which is a separate ticketed event kind of thing. But it's limited to, I believe the space is really limited to about 20 people. That will be able to do this, and it's a dinner and a VIP kind of visit and with Jordan Himbro, Steve Savino, and David Gall.
Okay.
It's $100 a person, meals Pearson. Included. A person. It's $100, meals included. But any drinks that you buy, alcohol wise or not. I kind of put that out there, and you know there was some flack, some people going, "Oh, I'd rather
spend $100." You had to know that was
well exactly, happen. And I did, but I honestly. If I had the extra money, if we weren't so close
I'm surprised you're not.
If we weren't so close to C2E2, so close to King County, so close to all the stuff going on in April, I would give, because
that would be on you, and that would not be part of our Faustian bargain,
right? I think $100 for a VIP thing like that is fair. I think dinner at Dave and Buster's is going to cost you $30.
Okay, I don't know. Dave and Buster's is expensive. You never take me anywhere nice.
Sorry, I apologize. I'll take you there.
I've never been, because apparently they have a Star Wars game now or something.
They do.
See, that's the thing. It's like, that's why I won't go, because like I would pay $100 and I would ignore them and play Star Wars all night.
But, you know, $100 for a meal, you pretty much whatever you want to order. And
no, it's... dude, I'm not... For that kind of... assuming that you get genuine quality... time with these guys, it's not a bad deal.
No, you think it limited to at least anywhere between 17 to 20 people. You feel that's a small enough group to where everyone gets a good long interaction with the three of them. And I can assure you, I made the argument today to somebody on the fan group that, you know, we had this five hour conversation with David last week, and you take the conversation that we recorded on the podcast, which was amazing because, you know, I never felt like any time had passed the entire time we were sitting there talking.
Like, I remember when we were done and we all looked at our phones and it was like, oh.
Yeah, it's like, it was like almost
like 11 o'clock. Yeah,
holy crap. You take that kind of conversation and multiply it by two more people, being Jordan and Steve, and you suddenly have $100 worth of, you know, just basically... chewing their ear on anything you can imagine toy-wise, which is an amazing, it's really, at that point, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience to go and talk toys with these guys, because, you know, here's three of the most knowledgeable people when it comes to toys from the 40s all the way up to the, you know, to today. I mean, you've got experts on every field right there that you can chew their ear off, so that's really, really cool. But yeah, if I had the $100, I'd do it. But...
You owe me $10.
Yeah, I don't have the extra money, so. But yeah, the Toyman show is gonna be pretty cool. So, I'm looking forward to that. And again, we're putting together a new commercial for him. There's been one that they did in 2009. That's a little out of date.
Yeah, it's a smidgen old. Yeah,
smidgen old. So we're gonna kind of film some new stuff and put together a new little commercial and put together some graphics and stuff for him. So, I look forward to putting that together for him. It was something we had started work on right around October up last year, and then things went south for us here at the Duvall household, and it kind of got pushed back. So I'm happy to be able to finally...
Are we getting paid for this? Are we getting paper for this?
We're getting something for this, but it's not payment.
Is it hugs?
No. We will talk. You and I will talk.
Would you give me a hug?
I will give you a hug. Yes. Okay. We'll talk about that off air.
I'm cheap.
Yes.
I just like human contact.
Fair enough. Human contact for Dave is wonderful.
It's rare.
Davey need huggies.
Man, I almost starved to death yesterday because the dog was lying on my leg, and it's like a living thing is touching me. I don't want this moment to end.
I saw that need food stuffs, but hairy beast will not move.
Yeah, came down with a bad case of dog.
Oh, poor dog. That's a bad thing to have, is dog.
She was happy.
Yeah.
We went to the park.
Aw.
Yeah, it was too cold. But she was happy. She got to go to the park and poop all over the place, so.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's her week.
Our little guy's got a little head cold.
I know. He's got a little jacket with a skull on it.
He's a bad boy, man.
He's got all emo on you.
He's a bad boy. You don't mess with Dash. He's a bad boy.
Yeah.
But, so, you know, some exciting things coming for Toy World Order this year. We've got a lot of cool stuff that we're...
This is our year.
I hope so.
This is our year. We put it in gear and pull past the others.
So we're smoke 'em. We're looking forward to doing some really cool stuff this year. But on that side, we turn to a very sad part.
Yes.
Of this hobby and of our industry and everything.
Always end on a down note, I think. You don't want to start sad and then bring it around. Because you want to leave them feeling bad.
Right.
It's like a Nolan Batman movie.
We over the weekend, the Joe community especially lost a very, very valuable member of its community. Somebody
a big
part of that community, a big voice. You know, somebody who had made it his life's work over the last, I don't know how many years he'd been doing this, to really, you know, bring the Joe community together in such a way.
And not just Joe. Because, I mean, he had amazing stuff from a variety of toy lines.
Oh, absolutely. But on Saturday, Gary Goggleshead, which we've talked about a number of times on the show.
Sometimes correctly, and sometimes attributing him to Gary Godso.
Yes, but Gary Goggleshead, he unfortunately passed away on Saturday of, you know, very unexpectedly, of course, because no one expects a death. But his was even more unexpected, that it touched a lot of people.
He's only 35 years old. He's 10 years younger than I am.
Yeah, he's 2 years younger than me. Mm. So
why does porn keep popping up on your computer?
It's not. Somebody liked a weird picture, but because I keep floating over this thing on the right here. But Gary, you know, Gary unfortunately passed away from a heart attack on Saturday, and
Here's what I want to say, because we talked about this before the show,
right?
I think we knew him from going to shows.
We had talked to him. We had talked to him many times.
But I wouldn't say that we really. I have a real kind of thing about not pretending, but thinking that I'm friends with people who I don't really know very well. And you know, I have a very small circle of friends,
right?
And so I really don't want to sit here. The podcast that I would recommend you listen to is, I'm sure they'll do it, is What's on Joe Mind, because those guys knew him and they loved him.
Yes.
And I'm sure when they can
he was a part of their show quite often.
I'm sure when they can bring themselves to do it, that show will be very gut-wrenching.
Yes.
But also very
heartfelt and very
cathartic, and you will get a sense of who the man was.
Yes.
Far better than we could ever hope to do.
Right.
In our well-meaning way,
because we know from just experience.
Yeah, we know him. I mean,
well, from going to King County with Irizarry 1 year, that you know him and Irizarry were really, really good friends.
Yeah, yeah. And we've seen him. We saw him at one or two Toymen.
Yep, yep.
And you know, John Kent bought those.
John Kent knew him really well.
Yeah.
So,
but what I wanted to say, what was interesting for me was we talk about fandoms on this podcast a lot, and it's usually pretty negative. It's, you know, Masters fans are angry about this, and Transformers fans are angry about that.
Because
the What's on Joe Mind guys loved Gary so much, they were really hit hard by this, and it was amazing to watch the Joe community rally around them, and the Godso family. There's all these things being set up to take care of them too. Now you got me doing it in reverse.
Gary Head's family.
Gogglehead. Yeah. So. My great heartfelt moment. Point being, it reminds you that for all our flaws, we have come together and we have formed this family. And for all the bad times, there is good in us, and there is something to this group fandom
yes
thing, and it really made me feel better about. I felt, I don't know how to put it, but it was very touching to watch people rally around Mike and Gary Godso and James Cavanaugh,
yeah,
and really care about them, and to see that these people, you know, came together.
Right.
Because I think that's something that's missing a lot in our hobby.
It is, very much so. So, yes, our heartfelt, sincere, you know, we go, our thoughts and prayers go out to the Head family, go out to everyone in the Joe community whose lives was touched by Gary Head, because he really was a cool guy, even though we, like Dave said, we didn't know him that well. We weren't friends with Gary, but
the one thing I can say is
we had interactions with Gary.
My biggest regret is that I didn't and didn't have the time and ability to get to know him better. And
right,
I regret that. I wish I had.
Yeah, and I know the one story I have in mind is when they would set up at King County. The first few times we saw them set up at King County, they were set up inside the main hall, and you weren't there because I had gone with Pixel Dan to film.
Oh, it was a spring one.
Yeah, to film a project that Dan wanted to do that he asked me to be involved in. And normally their cases say no pictures, you know, no video. They didn't want you taking pictures of the stuff. They didn't want that stuff. They didn't want all that stuff crowded. But we were, you know, they knew who Dan was, and we had all talked, and Dan said, I know you've got, you know, no pictures, but can we film some of this stuff? And Gary was like, absolutely, and took out. You know, they had a Megator
figure. Yeah, they did.
And had pulled it out for Dan and let Dan hold it. And Dan, because Dan had never held one in his hand. And we got all that on film. And that's probably the best story I have of dealing with Gary, is that he was kind enough to go, oh, absolutely, man. And see the love in Dan's eyes for Masters. And Gary's like, here, you want, you know, and let him hold it. And that was really cool. Now Dan, of course, owns both Megator and Titus.
But yeah.
Then he wasn't even close to owning those. And that was very cool, but it was a very sad weekend for the toy community in general, because not only was like we said, not only Gary was Gary a huge proponent and a huge voice for the Joe community, but he was a huge proponent for toys, period.
Yeah,
I mean, the man loved toys. He just loved G.I. Joe a little bit more, but he really did love toys. So you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to everyone that he touched, and especially during this troubling time. So very, very sad. Very sad. But moving on to bigger and brighter things, we move on to, of course, Toy Fair this weekend, and talking about what's going to be revealed. You know, I'm kind of curious to see what Hasbro reveals, as they don't have any Star Wars to show. They're not going to show any G.I. Joe.
Oh, I think they have it, but they're not going to show it to the public.
Right. We know we're going to get Transformer stuff, so we're going to get some new Combiner Wars stuff that we've already seen, things like the Titan class Devastator. So the Titan class Constructicons,
okay,
of the
Was that Combiners. A confirmed thing?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, it's Titan class, and they all come apart into different
robots. I couldn't remember if that was a rumor or if that was confirmed.
No, there's pictures of it.
Ooh.
Ooh. So we know we're getting...
Dave Leike.
We know we're getting Titan class of that.
Devastator, yes.
I'm really curious to see what else they show Transformer-wise. You know, there's all kinds of other cool stuff that hopefully that we'll get to see this coming week. So
I believe you.
Oh, I was just looking for pictures for it, because I don't even remember where I saw the pictures of it now. But it, you know, Toy Fair this year should be really, really interesting.
Yeah. I'm sort of interested. My little personal niche thing is they actually made, we were talking about 4-inch figures, they actually made 4-inch figures for Age of Ultron.
Yes.
Which I was very happy about, and a lot of people hate them, but I wouldn't give them above a C.
Right.
But considering...
Because they're not great figures.
They're okay.
They're okay.
They're okay. I think... The sculpts are fine.
Right.
I mean, I know people hate the 5 points of articulation, but the sculpts are fine for what they are.
Yeah.
And they are unique for Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Hulk has his little, I guess, Tony Stark
pants.
Yeah, they've got detail on them. And I think Cap fails in the paint apps department.
Right.
Because he's got a lot of them.
I gotcha.
I think they just kind of messed that up. But they're okay. And I am actually happy to have them. Legitimately.
Awesome.
Happy to have them. And so I'm kind of like, make more. Yes. I will buy them.
Yes.
I'm thrilled that I got these, but I would love an Ultron and a Hulkbuster.
One of the other Transformer things was that we got in hand looks at the Combiner Wars Leader Class Megatron, so the new one that looks very much like the G1 Megatron IDW, but transforms in the tank.
Yeah,
and
saw that.
He is Masterpiece sized.
Is he?
Yes.
Wow.
Because there's a picture of him standing next to Masterpiece, Soundwave, and the rest of them, and he's very much Masterpiece sized Megatron. So.
Impressive.
Yes, very much so. It'll be one that I get because I really want,
Yeah, I might pick that up too. I don't have a really good kind of classic Megatron.
No, I don't either. I mean, I've got a couple of them, but nothing like that. So that got me really excited when I saw that picture. I was like, ooh, boy, very cool stuff. So I'm looking forward to to Toy Fair this year, and we'll hopefully cross your fingers. We'll get some really good stuff and. Not just rehashes of, same old, same old. So.
We'll see.
But gang, we'll be back next week. Dave and I will be with an all-new show. Fan questions will be back next week.
We kind of
wanted to give you guys a week off to recharge your questions after last week's epic 3+ hours with David. As we, just figured everybody needed kind of a week to go, ha. But yeah, we'll be back next week with some fan questions, as well as I'm still working on getting our special guest for next week, so we'll cross your fingers that happens. But like I said, the podcast may get moved to Saturday or maybe even Sunday of the following week, just kind of accommodate everyone. So,
oh, my God.
Well, accommodations have to be made for Toy Fair, so.
No.
So I'll look for that. Also,
time and tide waits for no man.
Also, again, special thanks to our new sponsor. Make sure you check them out, shellheadcomics.com. Shellhead Comics and More, the Shellhead Comics blog. So make sure you check that out. There's lots of links on there for their store site, as well as everything they're doing on the blog. They do buy stuff. You can contact them. So a great site and a great sponsor to have on board. So please go check them out. Make sure you check them out via the link on the Toy World Order page. Just click on the Shellhead Comics blog banner there at the bottom of the story page, or the sponsor link on the front page. So make sure you check that out. And gang, we'll be back next week. So until then, David.
You don't have to go home, but you can stay here.
The Toy Bar Peeps is closed. Peace out.